It's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Light him up, Colin!
Boys, it's been a weird day in the sports cycle. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. You got Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo. You got Christian Catt. We're at the City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. Got you for the next 2 hours. Streaming live on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter /X at ESPN West Palm. Also on your radio dial, ESPN 106.3. NBA groundbreaking gambling scandal probe. Seemed to be months and months, maybe years in the making. A big uncovering last second. 31 people arrested, going to have major charges brought against them, including Damon Jones, former NBA player, former assistant coach. And you have Chauncey Billups, the current head coach of the Portland Trailblazers. Talk about an under, 36.5. Colin Russo took that. They started 0-1 yesterday, and then their head coach gets burned in an alleged gambling investigation. Ooh, over. I mean, the over is not looking good for the people who took the other end. But, and on top of that, Terry Rozier, who has been in and out of gambling basically for the last 2 or 3 years, to, if you even watch his games, you could tell that something's going on. But alleged, this is all alleged. None of these guys have actually been convicted of these crimes yet. We don't know what is going on with that, but it is a bizarre story that ABC News today broke this morning. And the thing I'll say, because you're going to hear it all throughout, and it's we're going to have to get this out of the way. This is a disclaimer. You're going to have a bunch of sports people come out and try to condemn this, and then tell you to go download the Hard Rock Bet app. So this is where we're going to have to set some boundaries and lines, where we're sitting here talking about this gambling stuff and how it's terrible and it's immoral for these players to do it, and then you see ESPN Bet on the bottom right of SportsCenter while they're talking about it. It's an impossible. And on the other end of things, you just had college athletes just get cleared by the government. Now that they're allowed completely to bet on professional sports, surely that's not going to blow up in their face. And that was just announced 3 days ago, that all collegiate athletes are now allowed to gamble on professional sports. You don't think that's going to carry over? So now we're sitting here trying to discuss the ethicality of how the sports leagues manage the gambling. And for those who don't know, here's what happened in that story before we loop into the discussion about it. Chauncey Billups and Damon Jones, under investigation, coaches in the National Basketball Association, former players, were face cards in illegal poker games. What does that mean? It is their job to be involved in big, high-stake, high-roller games, and they're big names, big stars, former players. They're trying to, allegedly, provide a little bit of authenticity to these games. They lure people in, the fish. They lure them in. And then people play rigged poker games, and then they don't win, and then the house takes a ton of money and then pays off their face cards, as in Chauncey Billups and Damon Jones. So the guy who has a lot of money doesn't really know if he should trust this high roller poker game. Oh, Chauncey Billups, the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, is there. I should trust this poker game. That's how essentially, allegedly, what these guys did. On the other end of things, Terry Rozier basically did what Jonte Porter is going to do, and Jonte Porter is going to go to jail. And Jonte Porter, for those who don't know, was a Toronto Raptors player about a year and a half ago, was betting on his under and basically telling people to take certain games, prop bets, made millions on these bets, and he got caught, and now he's waiting on a conviction and a sentencing, is going to come up in a couple months.
And he was actually listed in that FBI, I guess we call it probe, Colin. He was threatened to participate in the sports gambling scheme because of his gambling debts.
It, because these guys get into gambling debts and then they can't pay it back, or at least immediately. So these guys say, all right, well, we're going to have you under our thumb. It's a mob we're talking about. This is organized crime. You're going to have to do this for us. And then these guys destroy their careers. It's a fascinating turn of events how this has burned some of these players. But the way I look at it is, if I had to make a guess, and this is all alleged, maybe these guys are completely innocent. If I had to make a guess, you're never going to see Billups coach again in the NBA, and you're never going to see Rozier play again in the NBA. Those are my guess, just off of what I've seen now. And if you want to say, oh, it's poker, illegal gambling is still a convicted crime that you will go to jail for if convicted. I mean, that is rigging illegal. Number one, it's illegal poker games. And number two, it's high roller and rigged as it is. Those are convictable crimes.
Right.
So you're not going to, if I had to make a guess, you're never going to see any of these three guys again, if it's true.
Correct. And I actually want to focus on Rozier for a second because his lawyer, Jim Trusty, spoke specifically about him getting indicted, getting arrested, and Colin having it being a public display at the Heat Hotel in Orlando. Keep in mind, this happened at the team hotel in Orlando today. Jim Trusty, the lawyer for Terry Rozier, had this to say. He's specifically talking about the FBI. They wanted the misplaced glory of embarrassing a professional athlete with a perp walk. That tells you a lot about the motivations in the case. They appear to be taking the word of speculatory and incredible sources rather than relying on evidence or wrongdoing. Terry was cleared by the NBA. That's also the intriguing part, Colin. The NBA did their investigation on this and said Terry Rozier was cleared of all wrongdoing. He continued to say that he was cleared by the NBA, and these prosecutors revived the, quote, non-case. Terry is not a gambler, but he is not afraid of a fight, and he looks forward to winning this fight. So Rozier and his camp obviously denying this, but I am with you. I mean, if the FBI is involved, Colin, and they're arresting people and making indictments.
Well, they did it all at once, which means they put together this case. This is all alleged.
Right.
But if you're doing it all at once, it means to show that you've been building this case for months on end.
Yep.
And if we're going to sit here and try to condemn these guys, here's the problem. Gambling is infested sports probably a little too much. That's the truth. It's probably infested sports a lot too much. And the fan, the Mike and I's of the world, that's different. But there hasn't been a drawn line between how people directly associated with sports and people, and this is just Rozier specifically, and people versus not directly involved with sports. They haven't drawn a line in terms of how to manage it because it has basically infiltrated every inch of sports media, every inch of sports broadcasting, every inch of the sport itself. Every inch. You can see DraftKings, FanDuel, ESPN Bet. It's all everywhere. And it's fine. It's a profitable business. I get it. People like doing it. It's fun. It's legal now. All right, fine. But the way you got to spring this all around is the fact that this continuously comes up. This happened with the Cleveland Guardians 4 months ago. You don't think it's going to happen with another league in 2 months? It's very bizarre how now this has become a nationally just completely grouped together story.
And it happened with the player you're about to see probably lead off for the Dodgers in the World Series.
Now, you want to talk about somebody who was he wasn't convicted of anything.
Right, but at the same time, there were still accusations out there, and it was ultimately what prosecutors ended up coming to the conclusion of. It was his translator.
Now, it's different. He was gambling versus these guys were actually rigging what they were doing.
But still, you're talking about, Kyle, the gambling in sports. I think it fits under that umbrella and that criteria.
I mean, yeah. I mean, is it really that fair for me and Mike to go in and condemn these guys? Talking about, oh, you can't gamble. And I've done it before. I get it. You shouldn't gamble. And if you're a player, you have life-changing money and opportunity, and you actually have a direct impact on these games.
There's a big difference between me and a professional athlete.
But it's still, if we were going to sit here and condemn it and then say, go download Hard Rock Bet right after? I mean, come on. Like, it's bizarre that there is just no clear line with these players or the people that are involved. Now, the thing about Chauncey is this doesn't happen everywhere. I'm just talking about big group story sports gambling. But with Chauncey, he was involved with the mob, which is apparently still a thing.
La Cosa Nostra.
So there were multiple crime families that were involved in this that were actually rigging the games, and they used him as sort of the poster boy to get people into these poker games. But whether it's true or not, you haven't heard a thing. They allowed this guy to coach and I'll tell you one thing. You don't think the FBI, under the current political administration and everything like that, you don't think they did this unpurposely? On terms of the date, you don't think they waited till the day after the NBA tipped off to do this? They absolutely did this calculated time. They absolutely waited till the NBA finally got a little juice. They did this a month ago. This would be a little swept under. The publicity was a big part of this.
It was.
That's exactly what it got.
And the NBA just got done telling all of us opening night they did 600 million views on all their platforms. And Kyle, I know I kind of brought this up to you earlier in the day. You don't think it fits the umbrella, but like it's another bad look for the league. I mean, you had the Leonard situation early. I still don't know what the hell is going on there. And now you got this. So, and everything that goes with the league of how people are losing interest and whatever. It seemed like the NBA got a win that opening night, and now you're...
They have had a good day. They've had good, great 2 days. They've had a great 2 days.
No arguments here. This is definitely a big blemish on the blank canvas, I think.
Now the NBA, what are you supposed to do if you're the NBA? You cleared, and this is all alleged still. If you cleared Terry Rozier in your own personal investigation, and then now the FBI actually gets something to convict Terry Rozier of wrongdoing, makes the NBA look bad. That's number one. And then number two, if these coaches are now involved in some, if there's a smoking gun somewhere else that we haven't seen yet, and there's more to the story that comes out that maybe these guys were involved in more than just poker games, or there are more players, more pieces involved in these gambling probes, that's true. That could be possible. So if that's the case, then this looks way worse for the NBA. Yeah. And then the NBA is sitting there thinking, how do we punish this and then have gambling associations all over our league? That's the middle ground that sports leagues have not figured out. And that's where let's think about this out loud. What? Now you're going to allow the college guys to gamble on pro sports and they're just going to what? Cut it off cold turkey the second they get drafted? Who are we fooling with that?
Who are we fooling? What's the rules with betting on other leagues? Say I'm in the NBA and I want to bet on the NFL.
Can't do it. There are rules with that.
That's what I mean. I can't sit here and act like I know all those rules. But, Kyle, if I can't quickly, you mentioned the NBA and it being a bad look for what they found out with Rozier. We actually had a former detective for the NYPD call in who used to deal with organized crime and whatnot and dealt with the FBI numerous times. He basically said that he didn't fault the NBA for not finding the amount of evidence that the FBI is, because the FBI is doing this. They don't have the resources that the FBI
have. I'm not going to blame the FBI for not finding everything, because the NBA is not, it's not their job to investigate crime families.
Right, but he basically said that the FBI obviously has more resources, and this is their job to do this. The NBA is dealing with multiple different things, running a league. He understood why the NBA came up cold and the FBI came up with basically the jackpot. And it was a 4-year investigation. According to Joe Papliano on X, and he does a really, folks, it's at Joe Papliano on X. He's done a great job of kind of breaking down everything that is happening. This has been, to Colin's credit, he's brought it up. It's been multiple years of this FBI investigation. So I actually won't condemn the NBA for not finding out what the FBI did. It's still a bad look. I mean, brother, it's a terrible look for the league.
We can't blame the NBA for not getting the Giannazzo crime family for doing illegal poker games with Chauncey Billups. We can't point fingers. I mean, did Adam Silver supposed to find that? You stumble upon that? Really? No. That's an FBI discussion, all right? Terry Rozier is a different consideration. That is a singular situation in which if that is considered true, and it was games when he was with the Hornets, if that is considered true and comes out to be true that he profited off selling this, he's going to have the same luck that Jonte Porter has, who is now going to be out of the league and probably serving some time in prison. So hopefully, I don't understand if you're an athlete, and I'm trying my best not to condemn this because it's just so littered throughout everywhere in sports, but I don't understand if you're an athlete and you're making millions of dollars a year, whether little millions or a lot of millions, how you're even considering to get involved in after some of these crap storms that have caused in the last... Emmanuel Clase is never pitching again for the Cleveland Guardians or the MLB, and he was involved in this. I mean, Jonte Porter's never going to be involved again on the same token. So you got guys... that should be enough of a wake-up call, but you're still going to have guys that...
My best guess is that these guys get in debt. And I'm not saying it's with the mafia or whatever. They just get in debt. Their paycheck that they're earning is not, they're not even seeing a dollar of that because they're paying off, might it be a car or bad spending or whatever, and they have nowhere else to turn. But, you know, one of these crime families to do this and get $200,000 quick dollars.
They have somewhere else to turn, but they don't.
But you get what I'm saying, though. And the rumor quickly with Rozier is from March of 2023, March 23rd, 2023, Terry Rozier told the defendants that he was going to leave the game with an injury. The defendants then placed more than $200,000 of wagers on the unders of his prop bets, with Rozier leaving the game after 9 minutes. Those bets paid out tens of thousands of dollars in profits, and the defendants and Rozier allegedly counted the money at his house. Colin, that came from the police commission.
Yeah, so that came from if that is even remotely true, he's done.
It's a rat. Like, you know how these FBI investigation stuff goes. Someone got pinched, and they're just completely, you know, emptying out the dirty laundry. It's exactly, if they have that the money figure and that they're counting the money in Terry's home in Charlotte at the time, you got somebody that is
I mean, I can't make accusations of whether they have an informant within
those
years camp or not.
I mean, I can. It's the FBI, Colin. Of course they have guys who got pinched and that are ratting on everybody.
I mean, but Mike, they could have just been surveying the house. They could have been on surveillance on the house. You can't make assumptions like that. You can't just assume that Rozier's best buddy from home ratted out to the FBI.
I'm not even saying that. Someone from, you know, one of the crime families. You're right. I am assuming, but it's the FBI. Like, we've seen movies. I know everything's not like the movies. Colin, and someone, they have to have that specific information. Someone's
talking.
That's my best guess.
They might have been there. They might have been outside. So there's that. I mean, who knows? But if this is even remotely true, it just circles around the big discussion around gambling and sports and how there is not a clear line. There is not a clear separation versus the people that gamble versus the actual player and the people associated with it. Chauncey Billups is a different consideration. That guy, I mean, what is going on? Poker games, being the face card of that with the mob? Come on. Let's focus a little bit. Instead of watching film, you're going to, you know, lure the next guy who's got millions of dollars to throw around into a poker game, if it's true, allegedly. But, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, that's a dime a dozen situation. But the Terry Rozier thing, if this continues to happen, and it will, you're going to have at least a couple players per season, per league, this is just going to come about with. I don't know how you handle this if you're the leagues. I don't. Because I don't think anybody would deny that it's gotten a little out of control. I don't think anybody would deny that. And now you sit here and wonder the ramifications, if this is just a little tip of the iceberg on the story, if more is going to come out, or if this is sort of the end of it. I don't know what you do from here.
It's not going to be the end of it. And we've seen, like the NFL, what was it? Calvin Ridley was doing parlays. Like, he wasn't specifically manipulating his prop bets. That's what we've seen lately with Classe and Rozier. Classe from the MLB, Rozier with the NBA. And Colin, you mentioned us being endorsers, right? I just don't see it going away. I don't see it going away.
From the ethicality of it. Can I really sit here and condemn the leagues for getting involved with gambling and then talk about Hard Rock Bet and what the picks Mike and I are going to make for the weekend? Can we really do that? Is that really fair? It doesn't seem that fair.
I think it is, because we're different from NBA players and our target audience isn't professional athletes who shouldn't be gambling on games. That's my two cents.
All things true. But there's not that clear separation. When it was just in Vegas and you could only go to Vegas to legally gamble, it was a different situation. It was a different world. You know, Michael Jordan even had gambling problems, and there were problems of that. So, like, this is not just, you know, it happens to Terry Rozier's of the world. This has happened at a foundational level for some time. But it is ridiculous how this continues to happen. It really is. I do not understand. And you know what the best part is? I don't even know the next best move. What's the next best move? How are you going to combat this? If you're the leagues, you can't do that. Well, I mean, what? I mean, what are you going to say? You're going to ban every guy from the league who gets involved with gambling? Where's the line on where guys can gamble on different things versus when they can't? I mean, I understand two sides to it, but it's an impossible spot. It is.
I don't see how you fix it. I don't. I think you're
going to continue to happen.
You're going to have more situations like this. And I agree with what you said about the Billups and the Damon Jones thing. By the way, Damon Jones, no D, no dump, no jumper, DJ. That's a separate thing. I'm more worried about the prop bets. That's what I'm more worried about. Guys gambling, because like Christian brought this up during Theoretically Speaking. Now, like whenever a guy has a bad game, I was like, huh, you think he's got a little skin on him? You know what I mean? Like professional athletes have bad games, Colin. You know, but now I feel like when guys do have bad games, there's that extra kind of scrutiny is the wrong word, but suspicion. How about that? There's that extra suspicion like, maybe he's got money on himself.
It's what's the next best play? Seriously. I do not know the best steps for these leagues to take. This is going to continue to happen. And then it's going to challenge the legitimacy of what we watch and the how these players conduct themselves. It's very bizarre. And sitting here as sports talk radio hosts, it's easy for us to just condemn it. But these guys are in these situations with God knows who, these mob bosses, trying to balance this. And now they're getting caught, and then the FBI is involved. All right? And I guarantee you this is not the end of it. Let's just get that out there. We'll guarantee that this is not the end of this investigation story and all these allegations coming out, which the FBI came out today, arrested 31 people in regard to a mafia, you heard that right, mafia-related bets, poker games, rigged poker games, prop bets, unders, profits with three NBA-affiliated individuals, all alleged, Terry Rozier, Damon Jones, and Chauncey Billups. Chauncey Billups, the head coach of the Toronto Portland Trailblazers, and Terry Rozier, who we know here down in Miami, who's owed about $25 million this year. Russo and Rizzo, Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Cat. We'll continue the conversation, get into a little bit more NBA stuff. We got to rank our top 10 NFL. That's all to come right here on ESPN 106.3. I'm only human, y'all.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
The ESPN South Florida app is free to download today on the App Store. It considers everything you got, ESPN 106.3 South Florida Sports, in one spot. That includes Russo and Rizzo. That includes, Theoretically Speaking, that includes the Florida Panthers, the new home of the Florida Panthers. You can hear right here on the app and on ESPN 106.3. That's Inter Miami. English and Spanish broadcasts in one spot. On top of that, our extensive high schools coverage from throughout Palm Beach County and the Treasure Coast. Listen to it on Friday nights right here on ESPN 106.3 and the ESPN South Florida app. Go download today on the App Store. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Cat, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. We got another week of NFL football cut. Starting out tonight, you got Vikings, Chargers, Carson Wentz, and Justin Herbert talking about two teams that are beaten to the bone in terms of injuries for different reasons. You know, J.J. McCarthy still, have been hurt, looking at a next week return for him. And on the other end, the Chargers have every single offensive lineman basically in the ringer at the moment. But Mike and I are going to put together a top 10. Let's do our top 10, presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage.
Who's moving up?
Eagles still best team in the NFL. You know that they're not distracted.
Who's moving down?
I'm down on the Packers. This is going to be a major problem. We'll see.
It's time for the Russo and Rizzo NFL Power Rankings, presented by
Good Greek Moving and Storage, your superhero movers.
Folks, it is time to put together our top 10 teams in the NFL, our NFL Power Rankings, presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Go to GreekMoving.com. It was good to see Corey at the Boca Bowl golf outing. Finally putting a face in the name of our good buddy Corey Colley. Listen, it's all the time told, and he's got to call in on some of the takes that we have. But let's get started with number 10.
Number 10.
Now, Kyle, you have our top 10 from last week. Who are the teams that we left out, and who is number 10?
First two out were the Niners at 12. The Chargers were at 11. The Patriots, by the way, were at 13. Number 10 were the Pittsburgh Steelers. Number 9, Seattle Seahawks. Number 8, the Kansas City Chiefs. The 7, the Eagles. 6, the Bills. 5, Green Bay. 4, the Lions. 3, the Rams. 2, the Colts. 1, Tampa. So we know we're going to have a new number 1 this week after Tampa losing to Detroit on Monday Night Football. But a lot of these teams didn't lose. You know, you had the Lions who won, you had the Rams who won, the Colts who won, Green Bay who won. The Bills were on bye. So this is going to be an interesting one in terms of who to move up versus who to move down. Number one, let's do number 10. Steelers lost.
Yep, they're out.
Steelers are out.
They're definitely out.
Now, of the teams we have out, Chargers, Niners, Patriots, Jags, I don't think you look anywhere else but the Patriots.
Patriots are in. Patriots only one in. I don't even think they're 10. I think they're higher.
All right, then who do you want to put below them? Who are you going to put below them here? Seattle, Chiefs, Eagles, Bills. You're not doing any of them. The thing is, they've beaten the Bills head-to-head.
I think...
So I could listen to dropping the Bills a little bit.
The only one you think would be Buffalo, and you're basically punishing them for having a bye and losing to the Patriots, who won and are 5-2 and have a better record than them. Eye test. Who's better, Patriots or Bills? Eye test.
They beat them head-to-head. There's no eye test. Then I think because they beat them head-to-head.
Then all right. I think you got to put the Bills at 10.
I can listen to that.
Number 10.
So let's go with Buffalo clocking on in at 10. That moves us to number 9.
Number 9.
Now, I'm fine with Patriots here. I'll listen to the Rams, and I'll listen to the Seahawks.
The Rams, hold on. No, the Rams are going to be closer to 1 than 9.
Fair enough. I just think the likes of the Lions, the Chiefs, Colts.
I think Patriots make a lot of sense here. Would you agree? Patriots make a lot of...
I kind of want the Pats higher.
I can't give them that much credit. They haven't played... I mean, they had that Bill
Seattle.
Win.
I guess I probably wanted to put Seattle
Seattle's
here.
Won every big game they've needed to win so far.
Fair enough. You gave me Bills at 10. I'll give you...
Number 9.
The Pats.
They beat the Titans. Do we really give them that much of a jump from that? They're a top 10 team.
No, but they're passing that eye test, and I think there's something to be said.
And against bad teams, I understand. All right, but against bad teams.
So now we're on to
number 8.
Just to quickly recap, this is our top 10 power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Go to GreekMoving.com. Number 10, Bills. Number 9, Pats. Now we move on to number 8, Rams, Seahawks, and Broncos. I think we got to distinguish who's above who here.
Now, one thing. Broncos were not in our top 10 last week. They were not.
We left them out?
We left them out for good reason. This is a team that was losing to the Giants for about every...
So we would have to... If I want Broncos in, who would we theoretically take out? Probably nobody.
I think Broncos are first team out. That's my personal opinion. I mean, they had that immaculate comeback. Should they have been in that position in the first place?
And you know what? It makes sense to me now because you want to know the team I forgot? The Eagles. That's who I wasn't taking accountability for.
I mean, the Broncos did beat the Eagles head-to-head, but the Eagles are a better team, and the Eagles have beaten better teams.
No. I agree. So that's fine. We'll leave the Broncos out. Obviously, we're going to have the Eagles in the top 10. That's on me.
Because you're going to put, of the eight teams remaining, you're going to put the Seahawks, you're going to put the Chiefs, you're going to put the Eagles, you're going to put Green Bay, Rams, Lions, Colts, and Tampa.
And quickly, on the Eagles, I know a lot of people are making a big stink about the offense. I actually think the offense proved a lot. They proved that they could throw the ball. They proved that A.J. Brown, they could utilize a receiver like A.J. Brown, who probably still isn't happy. Kyle?
Number 8.
I think the Eagles clock in here. I would probably put the Rams over them. I'd probably put the Seahawks over them. I'll maybe listen to Tampa.
What about Green Bay?
If you want to punish, I think Green Bay's higher. I do. I'm down on them, but 4-1-1 at this point in the year, and they haven't even played well. I think they belong higher than 8. But I think the teams we gotta decide here. Eagles. Either you're checking in the Eagles here, or Seahawks or Rams. And I probably have the Rams and Seahawks higher than the Eagles this week.
All right. I mean, they're playing. They had a good game, but I could listen to this. Fine.
Eagles at number eight.
Because the thing is, you got to do of what you've seen recently, and the Chiefs have looked better more recently than what the Eagles.
You don't want to ask me where I think Kansas City should be. All right, Kyle.
Number 7.
I'll go to you for this one. Who are you thinking? You got the Seahawks, Rams.
I think you go Green Bay here.
Okay.
I'm in favor of moving Green Bay down because of that game against Arizona.
And remind me Green Bay's matchup.
They were at number 5 last week, and they're playing the Steelers this week.
Yeah, and I, believe it or not, and we'll make our picks later on in the show. I actually like the Steelers in that 3.5, but regardless, I'm fine with the Packers here.
Number 7.
Packers at 7.
Okay, now we move on to
number 6.
Once again, this is our top 10 NFL power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Go to GreekMoving.com.
Bills at 10, Patriots at 9, Eagles at 8, the Packers are at 7. Eagles are probably a little low here in hindsight, but we're going to continue on.
I probably would put the Buccaneers here, punish them a bit.
Absolutely.
I think you put Tampa at 6. That was a bad loss. Baker finally looked human. Mike Evans out for the season. Emeka Egbuka probably shouldn't play in the game.
They got some issues. They're hurt. They're hurt. They're pretty beat up.
They are. And from someone who took that 10.5 win total before the season, I'm a little worried.
They're going to feel Mike Evans. They're going to feel that loss.
They are.
So that's going to be Tampa at 6. I'm 100% fine with this because the Colts looked better. The Rams looked better. The Lions looked better. And the Chiefs look better. And so you're going to have to go with that. So let's do, and we're going to have Seattle still on the board here. Number 5. I think this is where you put Seattle.
Yeah, I probably would still put the Rams over Seattle as well. Give me the Seahawks checking in at number 5.
The thing about the Seahawks is they've been very sneaky because they've been top 10 in defense, offense, and special teams throughout the season to this point. They're able to turn over the ball. They're able to get to the quarterback. Sam Darnold has done his job for the most part throughout the year. You're sort of waiting for them to go against the Rams in a couple weeks to really see where they're at. But I think Seattle is the right spot for number 5.
And speaking of those Rams,
number 4,
I probably put them at 4. I still probably... Now, I know you're not going to like the Chiefs in the top 3. But
I think Chiefs at 4. I do.
Okay.
You remember they lost to Jacksonville, too. You know, that was 2 weeks ago, right? That was 2 weeks ago.
Mahomes looks like
that was 2 weeks ago.
It's like that dude again.
It was 2 weeks ago.
I know.
It wasn't that long ago.
I'm buying in, though.
5 weeks ago. It was 2 weeks ago.
I'm buying in stock to Kansas City, a game where, and Las Vegas stinks. Let's not get it twisted.
The thing about Kansas City is they just beat the Lions head-to-head. They just beat the Lions head-to-head.
Not beat them, they smoked them. And then they smoked, and listen, like I said, I know the Raiders stink, but no points. I got a shutout in the NFL.
Well, we're at the week 8 where a lot of these teams have played each other. This has been the biggest parody of an NFL season I think I could remember in the past couple of years at least. Everybody has beaten everybody.
But and I'm going to pull you. You're going to have the Lions over the Chiefs even though the Lions lost to the Chiefs.
Eye test, you're telling me that neutral field playoff game? I understand the Chiefs are the Chiefs, but I think the Lions are the best put together roster in the entire league.
I probably would still, if the playoff scenario, I would still go with the Chiefs because they've gotten it done. The Lions haven't gotten it done. But I understand. I'll lose this battle. We'll put the
number
Chiefs
4
at number 4. Let's move on to number 3.
Number 3.
Once again, this is our top 10 power rankings presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Go to GreekMoving.com.
Yeah, I know it's unfair. Chiefs beat the Lions about 10 days ago, but I personally think they're a better team. I think the Lions, they have a better offense. They got more playmakers on defense. They're getting their own way a little bit, but Goff is not as good of a quarterback as Mahomes is, but in terms of the star power that they have multiple All-Pros on that offense. Does Kansas City have that? Now, does this make Patrick Mahomes look that much better? Yes. But in terms of a team, I would take the Lions over a lot of teams. And they lost that Arrowhead? Okay. A lot of teams lose that Arrowhead. It's Arrowhead. That's why you got to give the Eagles credit, too. Because hold on a second. We're going to put the Chiefs at 4, but the Eagles beat them at Arrowhead, and we're going to put them at 8. So that's where this is turning into a circus because every team is beating each other.
And we do the same thing on the college side, too, playing the schedule game and whatnot.
It's easier on the college side because none of these teams have beaten each other.
Right.
The NFL, we're at week 8. A lot of these teams have played each other. I think you put the Lions at 3. So number 2?
Number 3.
2.
Yes, 2.
Number 2.
And then 1...
Number one.
Hold on, you skipped over 2. 2 is going to be the Rams.
Okay.
2 is going to be the Rams.
Yeah. That's it. That's the team I was missing.
They were 3 last week for us, and they probably had the easiest win of the weekend. Jacksonville was awful in the game, but the Rams looked fantastic. That was without Nacua, too.
Is there anything worse? Kyle, you're a Jag fan. You might like those London games. I'm kind of done with the London
Jacksonville
game.
Is either the worst team you've ever watched in London or they play really, really well. Yeah, I didn't love watching that at 9:30 in the morning.
Kyle, I think...
Number 1.
This is the easiest number one we've done yet. And
absolutely.
That's the Colts. I cannot believe we're in week 8 of the power rankings. Somehow, some way, the guy who is supposed to be fired midseason in Shane Steichen is number 1 with Danny Dimes. Indiana Jones, baby.
Yeah,
I mean, unbelievable.
That team's great.
Easily,
you know, they're the most efficient offense. One of the most efficient offenses this century in the NFL. They have a good offensive line. They have a great rushing attack. They have good receivers. They have a good tight end. And they got a really good quarterback. I want to bring this up quickly, too. With the Colts at number 1, how about Dave Gettleman, the general manager who drafted Daniel Jones, spoke poetically throughout his career about how much he believes in that player, about how much he believes in Jones. And then he took the brunt of the fall. He got fired because of it. And now Daniel Jones is doing this there.
Yeah.
Now, maybe it was all coaching. Maybe it's not. Maybe Daniel Jones just needed to get out of New York. But it makes you revisit history like that when you fire people based on these decisions and you realize that it wasn't necessarily the player. It was the situation.
I mean, the roots of the team. What do you always... 70% of the league is coaching.
It is.
70% of the league is coaching. And I think this is...
If you don't have the perfect marriage with that, you're not going to go anywhere.
And like Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Danny Dimes, the miserable quarterbacks that have played for the Browns. I mean, Trevor Lawrence. I know it seems like the Jags maybe might be turning a corner this year, but like you insert him in a different situation, you might get all pro level performances from him as well. So number 1 this week
Number 1
are the...
Indianapolis Colts. And speaking of our top 10, folks, as you know, it's presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. From packing and storage to local and long-distance moves, my good friend Spiro and his team at Good Greek Moving and Storage have you covered from start to finish. They're trusted by families, businesses, and sports teams like the Hurricanes and the Heat. Every single worker that is in one of those trucks that you see with Good Greek Moving and Storage goes through the Spiro Superhero Academy. These are the movers you could trust with your families, folks. Make your next move simple, safe, and most importantly, folks, safe, but also stress-free. The world's only total relocation company, Good Greek Moving and Storage. And once again, it was good seeing Corey from Good Greek at that Boca Bowl outing. Corey, a big listener to Russo and Rizzo. We appreciate everyone over at Good Greek Moving and Storage.
So week eight, what we have are the first three teams out. I think you got to put the Steelers and the Chargers probably outside looking in. Chargers continue to lose. But Chargers at 13, Steelers somewhere around 12. Then the first team out is the Broncos. First team out is, I know they won. That was probably the least pretty of the wins. I don't care if it was a historic comeback or not.
And honestly, let's punish Sean Payton for acting like an idiot with the Russell Wilson situation.
Bills at 10, low for the Bills, but you know, you suffer from a bye week. That's how the AP poll does it. That's how we're going to do it. Number 9 is the Patriots. Number 8 is the Eagles. 7, Packers are sitting there. 6 is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 5, Seattle. 4, the Chiefs. 3, the Lions. 2, the Rams. And then 1, the Indianapolis Colts. I have no problem with this. I would say maybe if we were to change something, I would maybe move the Eagles a little higher. But, you know, they beat Tampa head-to-head. They're probably a better team than the Packers, but I'm fine with them being at 8 because they lost 2 in a row.
And my gripe was the Chiefs being in the top 3.
Right. Chiefs at 4 instead of the top 3 when they beat the Lions head-to-head, you know, 2 weeks ago, not even, 12 days ago. And but the Rams, I think the Rams and the Colts are easily 1-2.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so. Because they did that without Nacua over the weekend, and they destroyed Jacksonville, and the Colts haven't missed a beat all year. Haven't missed a beat all year. That was our top 10 presented by Good Greek Moving and Storage. Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo. Go get started. And listen, if you're driving down the road, you actually get a nick on your car, you get into a car accident, truck accident, slip and fall down the stairs. My friends Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine at Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys, they fight for you. They don't charge you unless you win. They work tirelessly to get the maximum compensation that you deserve. Don't settle for just any attorney. Demand the best. Demand Anajar and Levine. That's the real difference. All it takes is that one phone call. Take back control of your life. Don't wait. Call with a free consultation today. Call 1-800-747-FREE. 1-800-747-3733. Take back control now with Anajar and Levine. Well, in terms of segueing back, we'll get into a Thursday Night Football. We'll make our picks for the weekend with Cover 5 a little later on. But one thing about the NBA that happened last night is I think, to speak hyperbolically, there is quite literally a new sheriff in town. Plays in San Antonio. He's about 10 feet tall. I think I'd take him over just about anybody in the National Basketball Association for the next 5 years. We'll get into that a little bit next. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. I see you gonna ride for me, so I'm gonna die for you.
Is you with me? I got your back, boy. Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
In the thick of the college season, watching all these college football games over the weekend, it's got me so jazzed up, especially with the parity that we're seeing this year with the SEC, Big Ten, ACC all having pretty good years. 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, that's college sports encapsulated in a little bottle, lightning in a bottle. It's that kicking off its 12th year this year. It's going to be Tuesday, December 23rd, the big bowl game down here at Flagler Credit Union Stadium down in Boca. The game is going to air on ESPN. It's going to have two of the biggest and best teams from that group of five that are going to battle it out for their chance at the title. More information can be found at BocaRatonBowl.com. Follow along on Twitter at BocaBowl and Facebook.com/BocaBowl for more updates as we inch closer to that 2025 Boca Raton Bowl, Tuesday, December 23rd, down at Flagler Credit Union Stadium. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo, Christian Kat, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3. Speaking of the Boca Bowl, he went to his first last year. He had a good time. But we'd like to welcome in the president of Good Karma Brands, the Palm Beach Sports Commission Hall of Famer, Steve Policino, with us now. Steve, good afternoon. How are we doing today?
Yeah, hi, guys. And you were at the Boca Bowl golf outing the other day also.
Yeah,
you know?
And a lot of fun. I'll tell you, Steve.
Well, let's start with this, because Steve runs one of the youth basketball leagues that Mike and I coach in up in Palm Beach Gardens. And Steve's, you know, the president of everything. You're making sure everything going right.
He's the commissioner.
I'm neither.
I'm the vice president.
He's the vice president.
Enough work to do at my day job.
Oh, right.
Just volunteer there.
Of course. So, Steve, by the way, Mike and I coached a 7th and 8th grade youth boys basketball team last year, and we both could not make the draft. Steve says, I got you guys. Don't worry. Teammates, friend, hopefully we think we'll hook you up with the draft. I asked, let's just put it this way. Mike and I won one game over 2.5 months. We won one single game.
Right.
I blame this almost entirely on Steve drafting a team that was probably not ready to compete immediately when we first got this team. So I thought this year, we're changing things up. I'm going to draft in person. So I went this past, earlier this week, to draft with Steve, who's going to be coaching against us in the league, by the way. So Steve is going to have a team, and I drafted the team this year. And you know what, Mike?
How'd we fare?
I think we got a good team. And I think, Steve, you'd agree with that, no?
Well, right before you called, I was talking to my son, who said he was reviewing the teams and said he thinks your team is particularly a question mark. So
no.
I guess we'll find out.
Really? No. He's dead wrong.
I like your team. My son said he thinks your team's got some questions. Oh, but like your team.
I'll be careful. There's a couple players that apparently are like hyper people, so we're going to have to make sure we hone them in and focus them on the defensive end.
Listen, is there a more hyper person on this planet than Mike Rizzo? If anyone could get through to
him,
it's me. All right? It's me.
No, I like your squad. I also like how you take no responsibility for your coaching effort last year and put it all on the general manager.
Hey, it's Uncle Steve, I will say this.
Steve gave us the lockout Bobcats.
Hang on, Uncle Steve. The reason I agree with Colin, my confidant, you guys gave us like four different players. Four different players. I had coaches coming up to me going, God, who drafted your team? I mean, come on. So like, you know, throw us a bone, Uncle Steve.
Well, you got it this year.
Yeah, we do. No excuses. Do you want to know what I'm going to say? Hashtag no excuses.
Mike, I'll put it this way. There was one pick I made. There was one pick I made that got laughs out of the opposing coaches. There's one pick. So it was at some point in the draft, and the coaches started giggling when I made the pick.
Why?
Steve was laughing a little bit too. I'm a little concerned about that. Other than that, everything else is okay.
You guys, first of all, these are kids we're talking about.
Yeah, jeez.
So I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't either. Steve, I wasn't there.
Hey, we want to lie.
Second, I was going over all night and like whispering to you, like, this is a good move here. This is a great kid. This guy's dad will help. I mean, like, you know, I want to see you guys prosper. You had a rough year last year, and I want to make sure you have a great second year. Anyone who's listening whose kids play or has ever been around youth sports, know it's a labor of love. It's a volunteer effort. You're out there. You know, everyone's giving up time. It can get emotional. And then if you're someone that doesn't even have a kid involved, like, that's just really nice that you guys would poach and volunteer your time.
Of course.
So I want to make sure you have a good experience.
Now, Steve, Kyle got the number one guy on his big board.
My big board, I got my guy.
Colin got his number one guy. I'm interested to see.
Steve was not at evaluation.
But
Steve also burned me by making me go to evaluation about an hour and a half early.
Well, yeah, Steve's trying to get us to do fifth and sixth, but that's just it's not happening.
We could use one more first and second grade coach if you guys
first
are available.
Second grade coach. Steve, we have to teach him how to dribble? What size ball do they play with? A tennis ball? I mean, that's ridiculous.
27 and a half.
Steve, are you nervous that you're going to be coaching against us in this year's league year?
I'm looking forward to that game.
Yeah, me too. Thought hasn't crossed my mind, but it's going to be really fun. And there's what they're saying right now is the prognosticators, because I know everyone wants to hear about Palm Beach Gardens youth rec basketball, is that there is really no definitive clear-cut number one team. So this could be anybody's game, and why it should be fun, and it's how it should be.
It's going to be.
Everybody should start out equal, and then, you know, let the best team win or the best coaching effort.
Colin, it's going to be the apprentices beating the master. We're going to win. We're going to beat Uncle Steve.
Steve is not a master. He's a zero-time champion in that league.
Let's be honest, though. Uncle Steve has a lot more experience coaching youth basketball than the both of us. And Steve, you got a couple of rings, right?
Steve,
how many rings? Hang on. Uncle Steve, how many rings do you have?
I should have a lot more rings for how much I've coached, but that's my part. I'm in it for the kids. I want them to have a great time.
Hang on. You don't have a ring?
I have one basketball ring.
Wow.
One.
Wow, Steve wants
another
one.
So we talk Sean Payton over here,
Steve wants another one.
Yeah.
Steve wants another one.
Uh, Another would be great, but it just means we get to play that much longer. The kids have
Steve, is Ev on your team?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Your son is usually on the team.
I'm just listening. I don't know. Steve, knowing you, you'd send him.
Trade him away for draft
capital. Knowing you, partner, you'd send. You know. All right.
We'll see what kind of training camp he has.
Now, Steve Palatino with us.
He's not caught up in any of this FBI stuff.
Steve Palatino, the Good Car Brands president of Palm Beach Sports Commission Hall of Famer, with us. Steve, a bit of a bombshell came out. ABC News, Sham Sharania, reporting that 35 people were mob bosses, mafia, and then three guys directly associated with the NBA, Chauncey Billups, for rigging illegal poker games, and then Terry Rozier, who down here in Miami a couple years ago allegedly was fixing player props in order to get big gambling profits, and then Jones there, who was the sort of assistant for the LA Lakers, giving inside information on LeBron James's whereabouts when he was with the LA Lakers a couple years ago. Steve, was this something that was sort of writing on the wall with all these gambling probes and investigations that have happened the past couple years, or is this as big of a bombshell as you could have imagined for this type of deal?
I think it is. I mean, you heard the things about Rozier and that there was an active investigation, but it seemed to get almost down to nothing because it was reviewed and it was told he could continue to play, but that's because the NBA reviewed it. I happened to talk to somebody from the NBA earlier today and said they knew nothing. They were completely kept out of it. They knew they were not involved. It was absolutely cloaked, top secret, the way the FBI and, you know, the law enforcement agencies, you know, went about it, which is, I guess, what they have to do. The timing's unfortunate. Never good for these things, but the timing's unfortunate. Everyone's so excited about the start of the NBA season, whether you're a fan of almost any team except the Nets, the Jazz, the Hornets, and like the three teams that
Blazers.
Are completely tanking the season. But outside of that, there's excitement about the new year. There's excitement about the new media partners. There's just, you know, that genuine family environment that they, you know, that the NBA, I think, exudes, the good vibes, you know, that come from the NBA, and just seems like some of these guys back on the court and competing, you know, for another year, whether it's the superstar, whether it's the older players, the superstars or the emerging guys like Flagg and Wemby last night. I know it wasn't a great game, but like just an end of this on top of it. Like you hate when the off court, off field stuff seeps in and just takes the attention away from on. Even like, yes, I was fascinated watching Inside the NBA on ESPN last night. Like, I was so excited. And then you wake up to this is really, really a bummer.
Now, Steve, we had the Emmanuel Clase ordeal and the Louis Ortiz ordeal with the Guardians, with the props. You had Jontay Porter with the Raptors. Yeah. And now we're seeing Terry Rozier. And, you know, you brought up the NBA side of it. I mean, they cleared him of all wrongdoing, and it turns out, you know, the FBI and their resources, they said, we found some stuff here. Uncle Steve, how do you think you police this? Is there a way to fix this? Is there a way to stop this with how much gambling is involved in some of these leagues that we've seen?
There's a few things here, right? You know, this is two separate incidents that has, from what I've heard so far, the only mutual connection is Damon Jones, former Miami Heat guard, yep. You know, Damon Jones, that was involved in both sides. One involved, the dispensing of information from players, including active players like Jontay at the time, Terry Rozier, who were truly like giving bettors an unfair advantage with non-public information. The second was high-stakes poker games going on from everywhere from the Hamptons to New York to Manhattan to Miami and elsewhere, where NBA players were almost being used, NBA players, coaches, Chauncey Billups was being used as like an inducement to get to draw high limit type players in there, big gamblers who were then competing unfairly from everything. If you listen, it's so fascinating, for everything from see-through glasses. I feel like I'm in like a Mission Impossible or a James Bond movie.
Right.
Like see-through glasses and other video camera tactics to swindle people up and up to $7 million if in individual losses with some of these, mob families. It is wild what's going on. So, like, to say, how do you police this thing? The one thing I'm not into is I don't like this being a public service announcement that there shouldn't be, like, mobile sports gaming. Like, you don't think when the stuff is behind the curtain that it's even that much worse that's going on?
Right.
I think it probably helps you catch it more because you have records of transactions and bets that aren't written down in a notebook with your bookie, you know, that are stored in accounts that can then be, queried by authorities to be able to get through, you know, to be able to get to them and uncover them. So it is, you know, sports gambling is a part of the existence, the ecosystem now. It's more widespread because it's legal. And with legal, right, you're going to have more people participating, which maybe means more chances to have these sorts of incidents, but I think also more chances to police these sorts of incidents. And that's the way I'm gonna stand by it.
So you're under the impression that this is probably not the last time that we will see instances such as this, whether it be with, I can't say there's going to be another illegal poker game ring, but with players that are directly involved in the manufacturing of certain bets and how these player props are put together.
Yeah, I'd be foolish to say this is the last time it's going to happen. People make bad choices. And then they, you know, then they're desperate and they'll do whatever they can do to, right, you know, to get out of it. Right. Because wasn't it said that Rozier had debts and that was why? This wasn't Rozier woke up and said, I want to go make some money on the side. I believe he had debts. When I say I believe, these are the reports, you know, that we're hearing.
Now, Steve Polizzino with us now. Steve, to actually make it NBA a little bit related, one big storyline from yesterday specifically was sort of the revelation of Victor Wembanyama as the coming out party. 29 minutes he basically played, 40 points, 15 rebounds, 15 to 21 from the field. Probably as good of a performance on Anthony Davis, too, as one of the premier interior defenders in the National Basketball Association. Give me your thoughts here. Is that, for me, I think I would take him over almost anybody else in the National Basketball Association. If I had a team for the next 5 years, I think I'm taking Victor above anybody. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
When you see what you saw last night, there's been almost a brittleness types of questions, but there's never been a player like him. I was watching the game last night, and Jade Billis compared him to Ralph Sampson. And now Ralph Sampson did not end up having, you know, the level of career that would have hoped, but he was such a different kind of player. He was so long and lanky and different and could do things that no one had ever done before. That's what I like about Wemby. It's like Jokic 5-7 years ago. Jokic brought a whole different world to the five position, could dribble, the passing, you know, the shooting, and doing it in an MVP caliber. Now Wemby's doing it at a completely another level because of the way he can shoot and the way and his length and his ability to defend. I think it's so great for the league to continue to evolve. And this is not a guy that you're going to see another one of. This is a one of one in the way he's built and the way he plays.
I think
it's great.
I think a good way to put it for me, at least, is a lengthier KD. You know, we were kind of saying the same stuff about Durant. But he's even taller than Durant. He's got a bigger wingspan, and he could go through the legs. He could shoot a three-pointer. He could jump from the free throw line. He could do it all. Boys, my only pushback would be Shea. I think Shea's incredible. I've been on it for the last couple of years now. Colin and I were talking about, you know, Gilgeous Alexander. You know, Kyle, who'd he cook? You said he was absolutely cooking.
He tore apart the Rockets the other night.
I mean, it was just cooking. Amen Thompson, one of the better defenders who we think perimeter defenders in the league. I'd probably say Shea, but I'm with you guys. The only thing I'm wary about with Victor is injuries. That's it.
So
just
holding
just
him
because
back.
When
here's,
you're...
Here's my Victor question for you.
Okay.
Do you guys, and I know the money is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, so... But Durant has played in the, you know, the modern era of NBA players getting paid well. He, when he retires or at the end of this current extension he signed, will have made over $600 million and be the highest paid player in the history of the NBA. Will Wemby be healthy long enough to surpass that?
Probably. If I had to make a guess, I'd also, if I were to do an average, I'd say he'd probably be the first player to make $100 million in a year. And that's just sort of the direction that those contracts are taking. But it's all an injury question with him. There is nothing holding that young man back. He is still 20 years old. And there is nothing holding him back from being probably the best NBA player we have ever seen. And that's just not speaking out of hyperbole. That is how dangerous of a player. Watch, if you're curious, you didn't watch game, watch what Victor Wembanyama did yesterday.
He played 29 minutes.
And understand. Try to understand. And that was on Anthony Davis. That was on probably the most adequate front court that could have defended him, and he made it look easy. We are almost at his mercy. Close. He is going to win 6 MVPs and 7 titles. Steve, what's going on with Duffy?
I just want him to stay healthy. You know,
yeah.
You just want to see that he can stay healthy enough, you know, to be able to, to be able to have a shot. I just would hate if it's one of those, like I said, like a Samson, where it's, God, what could have been? I just don't want to. He's too generational, you know, for us to have that.
And Steve,
that would be sad.
I want to get your thoughts here. I think there's another point to be made about him being an international star, which hasn't necessarily sat with the American fan nearly as much as it probably could have. You know, the NBA still rides on sort of the heat wave of LeBron and what Steph Curry have done. You know, the Jokic's, the Doncic's, those guys of the world haven't necessarily taken over the league. I think Wembanyama is going to be your real test of whether international players can resonate with the American fan, because if he doesn't, at a certain point throughout his career, if he doesn't take over the league and basically rebrand it for himself, then I don't think it could ever be done by an international player.
Yeah, great point. 3 quick follow-ups that pop into my head off of that. 1, San Antonio. He might not be able to do it unless he has a grander stage. That's one thing I think you got to think. I know San Antonio's been great for international players, you know, Ginobili, Tony Parker, but he might need the bigger stage,
okay.
You know, the bigger market. That's 1. 2, 135 players on rosters opening night of the NBA that are international, the biggest ever. I think the international player is here. And 3, the reason why is I think Adam Silver has recognized, talked about it, right? There's talks about a league in Europe. And I think this leadership of the NBA is embracing international to such another level, because the game has grown to a point where I think we have to really embrace the rest of the world, because it isn't the U.S. is so great and then there's everybody else, right? Everybody else is pretty damn good also.
And it's going to be curious, because the NBA, in terms of global interest, has risen, but in terms of domestic interest, has definitely shrunk. And we'll see if that could change here with Wembanyama. Steve, you want to go watch Wembanyama? Where do you go watch him? At Duffy's, I assume, right?
Yeah, Duffy's would be a great suggestion, Colin. You know, you got the the double smash burger with the 2 certified Angus beef patties, the smashed caramelized onions, topped with the melty aged sharp cheddar, dill pickle chips, lettuce, tomatoes. Oh, on the Duffy sauce and an artisan bun. How good does that sound while you're watching a little bit of NBA? Or maybe the tots on the side. You like the buffalo chicken or the OG cheeseburger? Tots, 2-for-1 drinks all day, every day, game day buckets all season long. And of course, your favorite game and any of Duffy's Sports Grill's 80 TVs. No one does it like Duffy's. When you're watching sports, whether it's basketball, college, or NFL football, visit your local Duffy's Sports Grill. At Duffy's, our game is always on.
Steve, appreciate it as always. Looking forward to talking again soon, all right?
Thanks, Steve.
Can't believe we didn't talk baseball. Bye, guys.
See you on the court. That's Steve Politano, the Good Karma Brands president, Palm Beach Sports Commission
Hang on,
Hall
Steve,
of Famer.
Quickly, Steve acts like he doesn't like talking
baseball.
He's
such a phony about that.
He is such
a phony about that.
He
said that to me the other night. He goes, "You guys talk a lot of baseball." I'm like, "You love baseball."
I would. and I guess maybe.
You're a big fan of baseball.
Maybe this isn't something I should take pride in. But out of anybody in Good Karma Brands, I would put this show's baseball knowledge up there with any show. I really would.
Like it's a competition.
I really would. I really would.
I think Steve enjoys the baseball.
I don't think 80% of the shows could do a segment on baseball.
I think,
or with Good Karma
I
Brands.
I think Steve is a baseball fan, and I think he deep down appreciates it. He just likes giving us a bunch of crap. That's what Steve does. We got to do a little 5 and 5. We'll loop in Christian Cat, Russo and Rizzo, ESPN 106.3.